Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2235, with a release date of Friday, August 28th, 2020, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Gulf Coast hams mobilize as hurricanes come crashing in. Crisis hits a wartime epicenter for code breaking. And the DX of a lifetime for one ham in India. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2235, comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's report with an update on Hurricane Laura, considered one of the most powerful storms to hit the U.S. in recent history. It made landfall on the U.S. Gulf Coast region, focusing on Texas and Louisiana, shortly before Newsline went to production on Thursday, August 27th. The Hurricane WatchNet and VoiceOver IP HurricaneNet had both activated a day earlier to begin reports to WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center using Skywarn criteria. Hams began reporting in via HF as well as Echolink, IRLP, All-Star, DMR, and D-Star, among other modes. The Ham Shack hotline was also actively receiving reports. The ARRL reported that the amateur radio emergency service teams in the region were also preparing for overwhelming damage. This story was developing as this report got underway. Follow Newsline on Twitter and Facebook for additional updates. One of the latest institutions facing a crisis because of the COVID-19 pandemic is a national treasure in the UK, with a reputation of being the epicenter of wartime code breaking. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, picks up the story from here.
The Bletchley Park Trust has said it lost more than 95% of its income between March and July as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it has proposed a restructuring that would include elimination of as much as one-third of its workforce. Bletchley Park, like so many other heritage organisations, shut its doors on the 19th of March and reopened on a limited basis on the 4th of July. An estimated 85% of the Trust's staff was furloughed, and additional funding was obtained through the National Lottery Heritage Fund. The museum celebrates the heritage of the codebreakers of World War II, who operated there at the Milton Keynes Country House. It has since become home to the Radio Society of Great Britain's National Radio Centre, which operates an educational communications exhibit in partnership with the Bletchley Park Trust. It is also home to NRC's amateur radio station GB3RS. The National Radio Centre, however, remains closed until further notice. In a number of media reports, Bletchley Park CEO Ian Standen described the proposed cut, saying, "I hoped that we might avoid the need to do this, but we find ourselves with no other choice if we are to secure the future of the Bletchley Park Trust." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Sanctions against radio operators can range from operating out of band to malicious interference to operating without any license at all. And then there's the case of this amateur from Germany charged by Greek police with espionage. Ed Durant, DD5LP, picks up that story.
The German tourist wanted only to have a relaxing holiday, and like many hams, brought along his radio equipment, hoping for portable operations. That is, until his arrest on August 9th. Police in Rhodes charged him with espionage after finding amateur radio equipment in his rental car. According to published reports in the Greek City Times and the Europost, the 51-year-old ham, whose identity and call sign were not given, had equipment that included cables, an antenna, a transceiver and a laptop, but was not carrying a license from any relevant telecommunications authority. Rhodes is one of the focal points of national tension with nearby Turkey, and police, being extra vigilant, charged the man with spying, saying he violated a law that covers the use of electronic communications. The man told authorities he had been on the air with about 250 other hams, most of them from Germany like him, and had been operating legally on frequencies reserved for amateur radio use. The charges were dismissed in court after authorities said they did not have enough evidence to support their claims of espionage. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Sometimes you wait a lifetime for that big DX, and for one ham in India, it finally happened just a few weeks ago. John Williams, VK4JJW, picks up the story from here.
Bubble Gupta, VU3ZBG, has been DXing since childhood, listening to the radio for those faraway signals. A radio enthusiast for more than five decades, he received the signals of a lifetime this month when he picked up a transmission from the Antarctic while he was near the shore in West Bengal, India. He told the Times of India and New Delhi Television that the signals were sent on 15 476 kHz from an Argentinian scientist's base camp at Esperanza, Antarctica. He verified the contact by emailing the scientists a recording of the audio, and the scientists replied with an acknowledgement. According to Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, secretary of the West Bengal Radio Club, this is the first time in recent years that anyone from that Indian state has been able to copy a radio signal from the Antarctic. As for Babul Gupta, he told local media it was nothing short of a defining moment in his life, one he has no doubt awaited for 50 or so years. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
A successful contact is something to be celebrated, but in the age of COVID-19, contacts have come to mean something else. In India, amateur radio operators are doing their part to trace those kinds of contacts. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has those details.
Ham radio has become a powerful tool to help authorities in Bengaluru, India, with contact tracing and other tasks related to keeping track of the COVID-19 spread. Working mainly from their home QDH, 80 to 100 radio operators are assisting as volunteers and conduct surveys and assist patients relaying information for government use. According to a report in the Times of India, the hams previously were involved in monitoring individuals who were required to be on home quarantine and assisting with reports of violations. The director of the Indian Institute of Hams, Shankar Satyapal, Victor Uniform 2, Foxtrot India, told the newspaper that he hoped the real-time communications made possible by ham radio would keep authorities provided with as much up-to-date information as possible. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation has added a prominent young amateur from Germany to its board of directors. 22-year-old Philip Springer, DK6SP, is a member of the Youth Working Group of IARU Region 1 and a lead planner for the Youngsters on the Air Team Germany program. Philip was among the well-ranked contesters at the WRTC 2018 in Germany as part of Team Y82D. The Foundation's chairman, Tim Duffy, K3LR, praised the selection of Philip for the board and said he was encouraged by the youthful enthusiasm he brings to the hobby. Congratulations, Philip! Sometimes a contest is more than just a contest, especially during quarantine. In Australia, a group of YLs has set out to show how it's done. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has those details.
This year, the 40th annual contest of the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, or ALARA, doesn't just provide an opportunity to do your best on the air. It's being seen as a way to chip away at the social isolation that has become so entrenched during this global pandemic. The contest begins Saturday, August 29 at 0600 UTC and finishes on Sunday the 30th at 0559 UTC. As Sue, VK5AYL contest manager for ALARA, said,
"We are really looking forward to hearing some young and new YLs in the contest this year and catching up with many amateurs along the way."
An ALARA contest page has been established on Facebook and its use is optional. It's available for hams to spot any contacts they've made with other YLs, but self-spotting is not permitted in this event. As organisers state on their Facebook page, and I quote, "We hope to meet you on the air." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB, 73 and 88.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Potomac Highlands Amateur Radio Club's N8 VAA repeater in Moorefield, West Virginia, on Mondays at 8 p.m. local time. A prominent New Jersey radio amateur has been chosen as the new chief executive officer of the ARRL. David Minster, NA2AA of Wayne, New Jersey, was chosen by the league's board of directors to succeed interim CEO Barry Shelley, N1VXY. A CW operator and seasoned contester, David also belongs to AMSAT, the Straight Key Century Club, the Frankfurt Radio Club, and the North American QRP CW Club. His tenure begins September 28th. Congratulations to Jeanette Epps, KF5QNU, who will be making her first space flight next year as part of the Boeing Starliner 1 mission to the International Space Station. She will join a six-month expedition that includes two other hams, Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, and Josh Quesada, KI5CRH, who were both chosen for the mission in 2018. This is to be the first operational crewed flight of Starliner. The mission will be the first as well for John Quesada, but it will be the third for Sunita Williams, who has been on two previous expeditions to the ISS. In Indianapolis, hams went the distance recently to keep up the excitement for an iconic 500-mile auto race, as Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us.
While the Indianapolis 500-mile race ran without fans in the stands, thousands of amateur radio operators from around the world were still able to reach out and touch history in the making. During the week prior to the 104th running of the Indy 500, members of the W9IMS Special Event Station ran their own 7-day marathon to log contacts in honor of the 500-mile race. Due to COVID-19 concerns, the race was moved from Memorial Day weekend to August 23rd to allow pandemic issues to run its course. Track officials had to ban fan participation at the last minute and only allowed race crews and officials inside the 2.5-mile oval. That didn't deter the W9IMS Special Event Club. Despite poor band conditions, they successfully operated for 7 days, taking check-ins on most of the HF bands. The 500-mile race stats are not in yet, but the crew reported over 5,200 contacts for the first two races this spring. W9IMS normally operates 3 weeks of special event stations starting in May with the Indy Grand Prix, then the Indy 500, and then in July, the Brickyard 400. This year, every station who contacted W9IMS for all three races will receive a special certificate or QSL card. Check out the details on the W9IMS QRZ page. Reporting from Indianapolis for their Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Who says ham radio operators don't know how to recycle creatively? The Shiwi Amateur Radio Club had reserved the special event call sign W7Y for the Wyoming ARRL section convention the club was scheduled to host in Cheyenne, but the pandemic prompted the convention's cancellation. The call sign, however, is going to be active as ever. It's been repurposed. Be listening on the bands and in various modes, including digital and satellite, for W7Y between September 6th and September 15th. The club is calling this its Come and Get Wyoming event. All logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World, and there are additional details on the special event page on QRZ.com. Meanwhile, the club is also putting out a special request to any and all Wyoming amateur radio operators to please join them on the air. Contact shywyevents@gmail.com and ask to be put on the schedule. Remember, you'll have 10 days to get Wyoming in your logbook just in case you need it for that Worked All States Award. Come and get it! Nothing succeeds in ham radio like the spirit of experimentation, as a group of radio operators in the Netherlands recently found out. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has those details.
Hams have responded enthusiastically to an invitation by the Dutch Amateur Radio Society Veron, opening the door to the use of 2 meters for digital amateur TV, or DATV. The organisation mounted the challenge in early July, hoping that hams would prove that 144 MHz was indeed well suited for such use. The 4-hour trial run on 144.6 and 145.3 MHz attracted a group of 27 participants, and a video was made available to instruct them in the use of the software used to decode the images. Veron is reviewing the data sent by all hams and said that it's clear the participants are ready to do this again. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durand, DD5LP.
In the world of DX, members of the Aruba Amateur Radio Club, P43ARC, are using the special call sign P42WW when they are on the air from September 2nd to the 30th. They are marking the anniversary of the end of the Second World War. Note that the prefix P42 has never before been issued and is available just for this occasion. Be listening on all bands and modes. QSL information will be announced at a later date. Plan ahead to be listening for Makoto JI5RPT, who will be operating from Ogasawara as JD1BLY between the 3rd and 6th of October. Find him on frequencies between 630 meters and 6 meters using sideband, CW, and digital modes. On the 630 meter band, he will be using mainly JT9. He will also be operating on the Russian satellite RS-44. Send QSLs to his home call. Finally, we all know it's hard to say 7-3 for the final time when a friend becomes a silent key. But hosting a memorial net, as one group did recently in California, surely helps. As Ralph Squillaci, KK2ITB, tells us.
The August 24th net on the Western Amateur Linking Association's repeater system was a gathering of grieving friends and family who shared stories and comforted one another following the loss of one of their own. Lonnie Bland, N6RBR, who became a silent key on Wednesday, August 19th. Described by many as a ham radio ambassador, Lonnie was celebrated with tears as well as tales as one of the founders of California's far-reaching repeater system. It was his dream to grow the system from three linked repeaters to a network that now stretches up and down the coast with worldwide links through IRLP, All-Star, and Echolink. One of the first to check in the net was his wife, Graffy, KC6ADB, clearly emotional over the tribute to the generous, friendly radio operator who had helped many newcomers discover their amateur radio voice. Net control operators included Jeff, W6JSO, and Lonnie's grandsons, Isaac, KI6FXM, and Justin, KI6FTP. Throughout the 1 hour and 40-minute net, many hams addressed him directly. One ham, checking in from South Africa, said, quote, "You are a silent key on earth, but your voice will never be silent in heaven," end quote. Sal DeFranco, N6SPD, who manages the WALA Systems North Hub, added, "November 6, Radio Best Radio, 73, my friend." Lonnie Bland was 88. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
With thanks to the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, BletchleyPark.org, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, DXWorld.net, Europost, Facebook, the FCC, Greek City Times, the MK Citizen, Ohio Penn DX, QRZ.com, Radio Amateurs of Canada, Radio Society of Great Britain, RJ Bragg, WY7AA, shortwaveradio.de, The Shortwave Listening Post, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Times of India Verun, the Western Amateur Linking Association, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020. All rights reserved.